What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And if you haven't gotten on our Patreon yet, we have almost 400 patrons right now.
We're so close.
We added more last month. When we reach 500, we're going to do a live stream Q&A exclusively for our patrons, where it will be your turn to lead the discussion, okay? Also, we're making some changes to our Patreon. First off, starting this month, one-on-one rewards will be open to both $25 and $40 patrons. And we are starting a new segment on our Patreon, Deep Shit, where we will go into some deep shit confessionals exclusively for our Patreon members because our family doesn't pay for it. And we are also in the early stages of planning our 2020 tour. Woo. In 2020, we want to visit the top 5 U.S. cities with the most helpsters. So build your local helpster community and we will come to you.
Yeah, baby.
I'm so excited.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Self Helpless. I'm Delaney Fisher.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And oh my gosh, we are so excited about today's episode. We have a very special guest, one of our very own listeners, who is so sweet and active in the Facebook group. And we're just so excited to have her here today. Please welcome Shay to the show, everyone.
Hey. Bam, 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 bam.
I'm very honored to be here.
Yay! And then, you know, Shay's going to be sharing about the transgender experience. And so thank you for being here to educate us and our listeners on this topic. If there's any point where we misspeak or we don't use a proper pronoun or something, please correct us because we really want to know and learn everything there is to possibly know about the topic.
Yeah, we dumb.
Yeah, we real dumb.
Help us.
So, Shay, thank you for being here. Do you want to kick off the show with your favorite or least favorite quote? You know how we do.
I will. I couldn't find the author, but it seems fitting. And the quote was, "It's always the people with no magic that try to tell you what to do with yours."
Oh, ooh. Yes.
Oh, I love that.
That was so good.
So good. So true. That's like where that's kind of like a throwback to the artist's way, kind of shadow artists or crazy makers, actually.
Yes, crazy makers and shadow artists. But yeah, the people who are living in that like that jealous shadow.
Mm. Or as Brené Brown would say, like the people who are not in the arena are the ones criticizing the ones who are.
Oh, yeah. Like unless you're in the arena, I don't want to hear shit from you.
Exactly. If you're not making shit, I don't want to hear you talking about my shit.
Exactly.
Very good. You're already crushing this interview, Shay. My goodness. So if you want to just start off with a little bit about yourself or your background, and what age were you when you knew that you were a woman, if that's how you phrase it properly?
I would say I was probably like 8 or 10 years old.
Okay.
But that would have been in the mid-80s. So at times were so different. You know, you didn't have the internet to do any kind of research. It was probably only in the last 10 years or so that I actually understood the label, that what name I would put on it.
Wow.
And that was I always knew something was different, but I didn't, and I knew how I was comfortable, but I didn't really understand how to express it. And I'm from a very small town, and there was, I don't know that even if it was in the time like now that I would have been able to have the courage to come forward. So it's the wonders of the internet cannot be under or overstated for the trans community.
Yeah. Do you live in a larger city now?
No.
You still live actually in the same place?
I moved away from that town and into a smaller town.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So when you said that you you didn't exactly know what the label was, but you knew how you were comfortable, how were you comfortable and how were you expressing this part of yourself before you came out?
With clothing, and that started right away. And it was it's kind of a pretty common theme amongst trans people or trans women to, you know, scavenge what you can from who you can. And I think it would be a safe wager to say that most trans women at some point had a duffel bag or something somewhere where they stashed what they could and placed an incredible value on those things.
Yeah.
It's just trying to find an opportunity to express yourself how you felt comfortable.
And when and how did you come out to your friends and family?
I had a little, like, tumor scare a few years ago, about 4 years ago. It ended up being something that was benign, but I had to wait for about a year between MRIs to actually know that it was benign.
Oh, my God.
So for a year,
so sorry.
I didn't know.
Oh,
it was a rough year. But in that year, I really took stock of what mattered and who I was living for and what value I placed on my own happiness. And I just, it was like I quit fighting. So I accepted it myself, but then coming out to my wife was my greatest fear ever. We had at the time, my daughter was 3, and I got online and I created a profile and started just trying to reach out to other people and ask questions and read articles and get involved in Facebook groups. And little by little, I was gaining the information and the courage to sort of have this conversation that I couldn't even imagine having.
Wow.
And I think fate stepped in because I had a notification pop up on my phone and my wife saw the notification, and it was the account that I had set up as my trans self. I'm not sure that I would have, I mean, eventually I know that I would have came to a point where I discussed it with her, but it sort of forced the conversation.
Yeah.
I was certain up until that moment that she would leave and I wouldn't see my daughter. And she just blew me away with, I mean, it was a stressful couple of hours. And then she said, you know, I love you and I'm committed to you and we'll figure it out. And, you know, we'll find a way. And it just absolutely, that's the most powerful thing is her being behind me without question. Aww.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I'm like crying. That is so sweet. Wow. Because, I mean, you know, you read about or hear about so many stories that go completely opposite.
Right.
So that's, oh yes, gosh, I'm so happy for you. that it went that way.
Yes, I'm very lucky.
Wow. Was your wife completely surprised, or had she noticed some tendencies there, or what kind of things was she saying?
Like, you know, it took her a couple of days to sort of process the information. And then afterwards, of all the things, I would say she wasn't mad at me. She was almost mad at herself because she kept telling me that she said, I should have known. I should have picked up. Mm-hmm. And then as I discussed with her, like situations where maybe I had some me time and she got off work and my eyes were absolutely terribly red from trying to scrub off mascara where I'd accidentally bought waterproof instead of regular.
Goddamn waterproof mascara.
Yeah,
it is
seriously
the bane of my existence.
She just, you know, I should have picked up on those things, but it wasn't that it was so out of left field that it was, you know, foreign to her, but it was, she didn't expect it, certainly.
Wow.
And can I ask what your relationship with her looks like now? I mean, where did you guys kind of go from there romantically?
Well, we had a discussion about what the future would hold, and she agreed that it was best, you know, for me to get a therapist and try to handle it the best way possible. And we also decided that we wanted to have another child.
Wow.
So I agreed that I wanted, you know, that I would put everything, we would stop and take whatever, you know, have another child. And that way, if and when I started a medical transition, it wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, that was huge. So I started therapy and went to therapy for about a year. And I was cleared to go ahead and start medical transition, but I chose to wait. And we had a little bit of trouble getting pregnant. And then it ended up taking almost 2 years. But my son just turned a year old.
Aww.
Last month.
Congrats. Congratulations.
Sweet. He's super cute.
Wow.
So now it's like I just started back to therapy, and we're at the point where it's, you know, where do we go from here? What does the future look like? But it's funny because when I first accepted it myself, my opinion or my view on what transition looked like for me is very different from what it is today. Mm-hmm. And it's like you never really stop evolving.
Mm.
And in the beginning I really wanted to just redline it. I wanted all the bells and whistles, everything. I was researching having vocal cords shortened and everything you can imagine that's available.
Yeah.
And now, you know, my involvement, became more involved with my, like, local LGBT community and became more involved with people online and developed real friendships with people, I learned that transition doesn't have to be a full medical thing. You know, it's the transgender thing is just, it's so up in the air right now. It's like we're being attacked from all sides, but at the same time, we've never seen more support because of the attack. So many people are standing up and voicing their support. And so it makes for a unique time and for all transgender people.
Mm. Wow.
Man.
So I don't. So basically, now if you had to put a label on like your sexuality, are you considered a lesbian in the community, or how does that work? Or like if somebody addressed you that way, is that accurate or not?
Technically, yes. I guess that would be the designation. I'm not a spring chicken, as they would say. So I don't know how I would. Yeah, I'm a little country. I'm sorry.
I love it. Keep it coming.
The I don't know what my approach would be if I was 20 years old and where I am now mentally, but I am so happy that I have such an amazing partner, and I consider not just how the label and designation of lesbian, to me, yes, but I don't know necessarily how that would affect her if she feels like she can identify as a lesbian. So I really just kind of leave it out in the universe.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's just whatever, you know?
Yeah, just like, this is my person.
Yeah.
Love right, it. Right.
Do you guys have questions? I know I've been asking a lot.
Yeah, I've so you said that was only a few years ago that you spoke to your wife about all this?
Yeah, it's been about 4 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that recently.
Yeah.
So then have you had that conversation with, like, your extended family as well? Like, your mostly just your parents, I guess, or if you have any siblings or anything like that, or has it been just in your immediate family?
I came out to my brother first. And I knew that he was the most likely to be understanding. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, more so than I expect. You know, he was wonderful. My parents, it's sort of, I present definitely more of a feminine side than I would necessarily a masculine side. But they don't say anything. They don't, it's not that they try to determine what's going on with me, but I don't know if the conversation, I'm more prone to have it with my mother and less so with my father. Although a big part of me believes that at the end of the day they would both still probably be okay. We've been through a lot. That's most trans people have some dark times in their life, and I went through years of addiction, and I've been clean for 13 years now.
Wow,
so my family went through that with me. So, you know, we've had our share of struggles. So I'm not sure that it would affect them. It's probably bigger in my head than it is in actuality.
What is a big like misconception about the trans community now that you've kind of immersed yourself and you're experiencing all this? Like, what would you like the general public to know?
So many, you know, there's especially in when you get into, you know, the city, that where people are more apt to actually interact in some way, even if it's just seeing a transgender person on a semi-regular basis, it's not as much, or at least from my perspective, as much of a big deal as it is out in the country. Mm-hmm. Where at my current job I can't imagine coming out there. There's just I just do not see any way it's possible. So I've been trying to sort of work my way into a position to be self-employed or relocate somewhere where it's a little more acceptable to be out and trans. Although there are absolutely trans people in this community, there's a small college the next town over that actually has 9 trans students.
Wow.
In an enrollment now, and it's mind-boggling to me that's because it's such a small college.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, with my wife, I think that her mental image of what a trans person was or trans woman was would be to like an association with what you see on television, like, you know, like Rocky Horror Picture Show or something, that it was some kind of fetish, something that's just, you know, glam and over the top. And that's just not the case at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really just, if people could take 10 minutes and genuinely empathize with what any trans person goes through, just trying to be their self in society, that would give them, you know, an idea of, because anything that you think, we think, you know, a thousandfold. It's so much of a big deal in our mind that it just consumes you. Mm-hmm. And you just want, the line I told my wife was that it would be nice to just not be noticed. Mm-hmm. To go out and not have everybody turn their heads and look at you and you know, acknowledge that you stick out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So do you kind of feel like you have to live two lives? Because you're saying that you go to work and you kind of have to like hide that part of yourself. And then when you're home or maybe in other places, do you feel like you can wear makeup or, you know, dress the way you really feel like represents you? Is, I mean, I'm sure that has to feel exhausting to kind of go back and forth.
Girl, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You can't imagine having to buy, have to afford two wardrobes. And makeup.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and makeup.
Oh man,
it is. It's very difficult, and that's exactly how I live. The work and my coworkers, that is one life, and then at home and what I do as a family with my wife and children is a separate life. And at home, I am completely comfortable. Was important for me that my daughter, who's now 7, it was, to her, it's just normal that, you know, I paint her toes when I paint my toes.
I
braid her hair and I play, you know, makeup and put makeup on her. It's just, it's normal to her that's the way things are. And I do too. It was serendipity for me to have a daughter first.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's that brings up another question. So was she about 3 years old then when you told your wife and everything? And does she remember, like, kind of before and after? And, like, how did that conversation go? I didn't even think to ask about talking to your children about it.
No. I've never had a specific discussion with her, and I know that it's coming at some point, but that, you know, I've always been very conscious of the fact that I wanted it to be normal to her. I wanted her to be I've tried to take her to some pride events, that there's very family friendly pride events, so that she had the opportunity to be immersed in the community. And awesome. I'm part of a local diversity center, and we we went and made Christmas ornaments there. Aww. This past year. And, you know, just, I try to sort of make sure that she sees the world, not just being in a small town. It would be easy for her to be sheltered from the ways of the world and reality.
Yeah.
So I work really hard to try to expose her to that. And I just wanted her to always just see me as me. And that way, when the time comes, that it won't be such a huge change for her.
Mm, yeah.
That makes sense.
My son's just 1. So, you know, he's at, I'm not sure where I'll be 4 or 5 years from now for him to, but my intentions are the same with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So as far as, you know, the medical transitioning process and all of that, where do transgender people usually start with that? Is it hormone first and then it goes somewhere else? Or is it kind of whatever you can do? How does that all work?
Well, usually a big hurdle is the financial aspect of it, because it can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. But you start with a therapist. A therapist has to get to a point with you where they will find a letter. You get a clinical diagnosis. They will write a letter so that you can go to an endocrinologist and be prescribed an estrogen as well as a testosterone blocker. And that sort of, like, the combination and strengths vary. Some people don't take testosterone blockers, some do. That's the beginning. And the rule of thumb is that you shouldn't do anything surgical for at least a year to give the estrogen and the testosterone blockers an opportunity to work their magic. It's like a 20% reduction in muscle mass, an adjustment of fat storage on your body, thicker hips and boobs. Oh, mm-hmm. Boobs.
Yay, boobs.
Nice.
Yes, boobs.
Why is it that
glorious
some...
boobs.
Glorious boobs. Why is it that some people don't take testosterone blockers? Is it just case by case, not everybody needs to? Or is that, like, a choice for some people?
Some people may not necessarily need them, and it really, it can depend on your what level of transition you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. It has some physical effects on you, and like in my case, I had really low testosterone. That's what led me to find out about the whole pituitary tumor in the first place, I had extremely low testosterone. At that time, I probably wouldn't have needed testosterone blockers, so the doctor wouldn't have given them to me. Mm. But, you know, somebody that's very athletic and works out and stuff a lot, you produce testosterone when you are active. So the more activity, the more you would probably need to block. A lot of people go is to have an orchiotomy, which is where they remove the testicles, which produce the testosterone. So you eliminate the need for the testosterone blockers, because to my understanding, they seem to have the largest amount of side effects that are negative, like heart problems and such.
Oh, I did not know any of that.
Yeah, what are some of the side effects from, you know, more rare that they warn you about to, like, more common?
It's kind of tough. It's like watching one of these commercials on TV where when they read the list off to you, they're going to say that it's going to be, you know, insane acne and explosive diarrhea and runny nose and bloodshot eyes. Right. They kind of warn you that it's everything. Mm. But the major concerns are that you have a higher likelihood of stroke and heart issues, and that you are more prone to blood clots, and the worst is a serious decrease in your sex drive.
Mm. Wow. So as far as, you know, before you came out to your immediate family and after, what has that done for your happiness level? I mean, you talked about kind of like having the things that you love in a bag and kind of having to be secretive about it. And now you're out in the open around your wife and everything. What does that feel like?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's you know, I mentioned evolving, and that couldn't happen until I had that conversation with her. I couldn't conceptualize any possibility of being able to find happiness. And, you know, it's like wearing a yoke around your neck that you're always carrying this secret. And it's not that you want to keep it from them, but you're just so in fear of how they would respond. And, you know, every little clue that you get from the things they say, or when you're watching TV and they make a comment on, you know, every little thing you magnify in your mind and create barriers. But once I had the conversation and it was no longer the fear of, you know, is she going to come home while I'm dressed and wearing makeup? You know, do I have to hurry up and get this off before she gets home? To just be able to relax and be myself. I didn't need so much focus on the details anymore. It allowed me to just relax and be me. And that absolutely caused our relationship to be even better, because I didn't feel like I was lying anymore, or, you know, keeping secrets. And it gave me a feeling that, I mean, I think our relationship was wonderful before, but it took it to a higher place once that level of honesty and vulnerability was out there, because that's, you know, that's my ultimate vulnerability. And for her to have that, to, you know, it really made a huge difference.
Wow. You were talking about, you know, before you told people, just people making comments and kind of like overanalyzing that, or I guess gleaning how they felt about, you know, maybe the trans community or something. Can you speak more to like maybe mistakes people make in regards to like the terminology people use, ways that they refer to the trans community or individuals that are, you know, offensive or problematic that maybe people don't even realize?
Like anything that's derogatory, that might be like accidentally derogatory or offensive, or some, obviously people are just hurtful on purpose. But what are the things that like everybody should stop saying about the trans community? That's what I would love to know.
No pressure.
As Lisa, as far as you know, or you've experienced.
We're all sort of just fumbling around in the dark trying to figure out. Some seem to know more than others, or at least say they know more than others. The trans community is a catty bunch, because there are definitely girls that will pop their bubble gum and tell you in an instant that you're doing something wrong. And then there's others that just, you know, everything's soft edges. It's okay. And they'll maybe gently correct you, but anytime anybody says transgendered, that is one that is definitely, I don't get offended at much, and even I don't like that. It sounds horrible to us anyway, to be transgendered. You know, pronouns matter to every transgender person, but it matters in varying degrees. I myself, where I'm in a position that I have to live two lives, I wouldn't be offended if somebody, you know, gendered me with the wrong pronouns. Now, once I am living completely out full time, it will be something that I would. But I think really your intent in your comment is what matters. If you're intentionally being derogatory, then that is absolutely terrible, you know. But people make mistakes, and especially, it's, you know, if somebody that you've known for 30 years comes and tells you one day that they're trans, it's you know, it's not something that, by reflex, sometimes you're going to make mistakes, even if you have the best of intentions. So, you know, as long as your intent is good, no, I don't think that very many trans people would ever have a problem. You know, it's just trying to remember the small things, because we are very much hyper aware of how people perceive us, and it can be it can be hurtful sometimes, even when it's not intended to. So, you know, it's I don't expect everybody to walk on eggshells around me, and I'm a huge fan of comedy, and I try to absolutely find the humor in everything. So, you know, in most situations, I can laugh things off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if as long as your intent is genuine and you're not purposefully being derogatory, I don't think anybody would have any issues.
Yeah.
It's just a tough time. You know, the whole trans community, as it's becoming more public and more a topic that is discussed by more and more people, we're trying to figure out the parameters. You know, there's nothing set, there's no set handbook or rule for what it's supposed to be and how it's going to be. Just like trans athletes, mm-hmm, you know, it's mm-hmm. such a gray area, and everybody's very opinionated on one side or the other. And, you know, it's tough subjects. I don't know what the answers are. I'm not really sure anybody does.
Yeah.
But I think, like, with time, you know, the advances in medicine, the abilities of the internet to bring it to people, and as people become more and more educated on it, it becomes something that some of the issues will resolve themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that does feel like the main problem, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Just the lack of education.
Yeah.
On topics yeah. like this, and just the lack of exposure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a statistic that I read that maybe only 18% of Americans know someone who mm-hmm. is trans, and therefore, right. I mean, because yeah. like when I am friends with somebody, I ask all the questions. I get right, to yeah. know every part of them, and so right. I personally don't think I have a trans friend that I can ask. Yeah. And so this is why, like, this interview is so valuable, because mm-hmm. I haven't been able to properly educate myself, because I would just go straight to the source and talk
yeah.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do have somebody in my life that's going through that, they haven't told me about it, or they haven't been open about it.
Right. Well, and the pronoun conversation is interesting to me, because it's that's like beyond even the trans community now. It's
right.
a lot of people are preferring like they.
Yeah.
I mean, Shay, do you personally, you said like pronouns matter to people. Do you feel like mm-hmm. it's a personal thing that you just need to ask everyone as individuals what they prefer? Do you feel like it would be better if everybody, you know, tried to say they and instead of he and him and she and her? Or do you feel like, you know, for some people, especially someone who has been through so much and has come out as trans, that they may really want that, you know, her or him, because they waited so long for it.
That's a good point.
Good point, yeah.
A lot of what I see out there with, you know, cisgendered people discussing the trans pronoun issues, they tend to paint with a very wide brush. I feel like that, you know, there are minority groups of the trans community that it is something that they are very focused on, and it's sometimes it's difficult to really ascertain what you should lead with. And I think in the situations where, you know, presentation really, I think, would be the rule of thumb, that if you were to come up to someone and, you know, it's the first introduction or what, that, you know, if they appear in a feminine manner, that I would think that it would be okay to use, you know, she and her, and same, you know, if they present in a male. But there's so many times that it's kind of androgynous, and mm-hmm. you don't really have a clear path. But I would think that in those times of doubt, to just ask.
Mm-hmm. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, and like I said, I really think that intent, that, you know, if you're genuine and you make a mistake, and but you were attempting to find out the proper way, that in most cases, that, you know, they're going to be understanding and okay with it, you know?
Yeah, if you don't have hate in your heart, you know, it's like people can pick
right,
up on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have there been any representations of trans people in the media or television or anything that have been harmful or hurtful that you know of, that the trans community is said, like, that's basically not realistic? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of shows coming up now.
Or any that you're like, that was great.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, anything that you, like, hey, if you watch this show, this is a pretty realistic interpretation or pretty accurate. Or...
Yeah.
Well, I'm, of course, a big fan of jazz. I watched that show, and I think that it's a very good educational tool for anyone, because you get the perspective of not only what it is to be a trans woman, and especially in those youthful years where there's you know, we all went through teenage years and know how rough those are for anybody, and for a trans woman, I can't imagine going through you know, Jazz is very supported, and the family, seeing the aspects of how a mother's perspective is and a father's perspective, it's really a great show for anybody to just sort of get an idea of what the dynamic is like. And you know, Laverne Cox and Janet Mock, I'm huge fans. There's a very many representations of trans people out there that are helping educate the world as a whole, that I'm very proud that they are the representation that the world is seeing. As far as bad ones, I don't, you know, you hear stories that people like talking about, you know, the trans bathroom issues and stuff, and people say things that I don't. My biggest thing is most of the stuff that you hear, there is no evidence that backs up these crazy scenarios that get discussed. There's so many hypotheticals discussed that just aren't reality. Mm. And 99.9% of everyday life will never be reality. So it's kind of like it's the responsibility of any person that plans to interact in any way with the trans community, whether it be a coworker or a friend or a family member or whatever, to do a little bit of due diligence, just so that you're sensitive to what they are going through. You would feel the same way if you know, that you got a new coworker that maybe had English as a second language and came from a different culture. You wouldn't want to offend their cultural beliefs and, you know, think any less of them because they are, you know, more linguistic in another language. You know, you try to accommodate any human being. And I think that, That's sort of what the shift in the trans community right now, it's almost like it's coming to a boiling point, especially with our government at the moment being so against the trans community. I really think that it's sort of forcing a conversation in society that maybe otherwise wouldn't have happened. So maybe, fingers crossed, at the end of the day, it's a good thing for us that something good comes out of these 4 years.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like people to know who might be struggling to come out? Any words of wisdom? I know you mentioned that your family was fairly supportive, but maybe the ones that are going to come out and the family isn't supportive, are there resources they can look up and anything that you want to share?
That, you know, when I first started, my first move was to create an online profile. And I can't stress for anybody out there that is looking for answers or support how important that is. There's some really great groups on Facebook that you will find people that are more than happy to share information and just listen and let you, you know, tell your part and say encouraging things when you need them. And that's a role that I've tried my best to take on myself so that when I come across people that are new, that I can, you know, maybe provide something that somebody provided me a few years ago. It's just, you know, there's more and more books being written by trans people every day that have information. There's more and more advances in medicine and surgeries that make it much more available to people. And it's the mental health. You know, there's so much suicide in the trans community and murder. And it, you know, the murder, I can't change that. But the suicide is something that can be prevented if people will just reach out. There are people out there that will listen and will have encouragement for you. So just get online and reach out. Go on dating websites. There's Bumble and OkCupid. And put in your profile that you're just looking for friends and that you're trans. And you will meet people that are, it's a safe way to find people locally that will accept you. And then maybe you can get out and just face to face with some people, and just one friend can make all the difference in the world. And they're out there if you can just find them.
Yeah. Such good advice.
And Shay, you're in our Facebook group.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage our other listeners to join the Self-Helpless Facebook group, and you know, Shay's on there, and
it's a wonderful, supportive, and that's absolutely that's, you know, one of many great groups on Facebook. Really is. It's something that is always after the end of a hard day, and you go in, whether it be that maybe somebody's having a little bit worse day than you, and it puts you in check for realizing that sometimes you got some small world problems instead of big world problems.
Yeah.
Or just so that somebody says, hey, you know, tomorrow be better, chin up. It really does help.
Yeah. Nice. So you'd be comfortable.
The podcast is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
I've listened to the Focus episode 3 times. And I'm not done with it yet.
That's so sweet. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Yeah. We wouldn't have this show if we weren't for, you know, you amazing listeners. So thank you.
Yeah. You guys
and
are
thank
the best.
You so much for being willing to come on as a guest.
Like, yeah.
I'm so honored. And my goal is to have one of my pictures dickified by Dwayne. And I'm hoping that maybe at the bottom of the cup, I could get a pair of scissors painted on the mug.
Oh, you got it, baby. No problem.
That's amazing.
I will have my order in for Christmas.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. So amazing. So, Shay, if you're comfortable with it, if there's anybody who has questions about this to reach out to you in the Facebook group, would that be okay? as a resource.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And
you ladies ask anytime, any questions, I'm always here.
Oh, thank you.
This was
so great.
So awesome.
You're fantastic.
You really are. Anything else? Any final questions or any last words for you, Shay? And then we'll be wrapping it up.
Just spread love and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Shay.
We love you so much and we will be in touch. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was so cool.
That's amazing.
She's fantastic.
Oh, yes. That was amazing.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap up the show with some segments.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
And again, let us know on the Facebook group if you like this format a little more.
Yeah.
We're trying something new. We're going to put our more personal updates at the end of episodes after the meet.
Yes, that's right.
Let us know if you like that.
That's right, baby.
So I have a self-care list. This weekend, I was in Indianapolis, which... I met some very nice helpsters. Thank you guys so much for coming out. There were some people who even waited until like after, because I wasn't going out after shows because I just was like overwhelmed. And also like just people touch you too much. Like It's a lot of touching.
It's
I don't know.
Zoo.
How do you do that? Like it's just too many people.
I like it.
You do like it?
I like it. I mean, it's not like I really enjoy being touched by strangers necessarily, but I
you
do
like the affirmation.
I like the affirmation. Yeah. Yes. It's as close as we get to like a gold star on your report card these days. You know,
that's
it's
true.
Just getting that verbal like, hey, you were great. It's nice.
Yeah. And just to be clear, if you're a helpster, I will hug you.
Oh, yeah.
Really hard.
we hug helpsters for sure.
I mean, like drunk moms who want to like fix my shirt and touch my face.
Stroke your hair.
And like, yeah. And like just creepy dads who want to touch the small of my back with their damp hands. Like just... There's some people who just don't. They think, oh, we're taking a picture. I can touch you. And you can't. So that's why sometimes I don't go out. But if you're a helpster and you're like, hey, is Taylor going to come out? Someone will come get me. So I did a thing where I went to a club that just not a great club. I'll be like, it just wasn't the best. Like the hotel situation was not the best. And I was a little uncomfortable over the weekend and I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible, which is not a reflection on anybody who came to see me. Thank you so much for coming. I'm sure I'll come back to the city, but maybe not that club. But I just wanted to get out. So I left at like 6 a.m. on Sunday, which is 3 a.m. our time, which is a red eye. And every night, because I didn't want to be awake during the day, I just would like go to bed at 5 a.m. and wake up at 3 p.m. and then go do my shows and then like come back and FaceTime
girl.
Kyle. It wasn't good. It was like cruise ship protocol for me, where I would just stay up all night and then go to sleep and try to like sleep the day. It wasn't good. And I thought like, oh, I don't take red eyes that much. I'll just sleep on the flights. And I didn't. I slept maybe 30 minutes and then couldn't sleep when I got home because I was just like, I don't know. The sleep deprivation is so real.
Yeah. Your circadian rhythms, like I'm just understanding more and more how fucked those get when you go through time zones. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. So that was my self-care list. I have been really good about it for a while now about not taking red eyes. I can't remember the last time I took a red eye, and this was not good, and I'm still messed up from it a few days later.
Yeah, you're gonna get yelled at in the Facebook group.
You really
for sure.
will.
I know.
You really
Sorry.
Will. The pattern continues.
We can only do so much.
It was a relapse.
Yeah. I have a defuck. Dude, okay, so I was walking Maverick with Cam the other day, and he basically, Maverick, not Cam, Maverick went from like 0 to 60 with his speed. Like, I've never seen him run so fast. It jiggled the freaking leash out of my hand. So he was on the loose in our neighborhood, is obviously like he's running on the sidewalk, but there's
cars.
Street and cars everywhere. So I start freaking out. I've never seen Cam run so fucking fast in his life. You know what they call like dad strength or something? Or like that shit kicked in. First of all, Cam barely like walks around the neighborhood. So to see him like kick off his shoes and freaking run after Maverick. I mean, he was going so fast. fast, Cam was not going to catch him. So thank God that when we ran around the corner, there was a couple of people walking their dogs, and they were able to bend down and grab the leash as like Maverick ran by, and they caught him for us. And I was just like in a state of shock. I felt like such a bad mom. I freaking grip that thing like nobody's business. But he's so small, you don't think he could freaking be that powerful.
Yeah.
And it just freaked me out. 'Cause I'm like, oh my God, if this shit like this can happen with my dog, could you imagine if I had like a human baby and like the freaking stroller was like, you know, rolling into the street or something? I mean, oh God, just parents everywhere. I'm so sorry with what you put up with and what you have to deal with. So yeah, I'm trying to like not beat myself up for that, but that was really freaking scary.
Yeah.
So that was my defuck moment.
Don't beat yourself up. Maverick needs so to realize how good he has it.
Oh my God,
I think that's ungrateful.
He was so fat. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to catch him. I would have we would have just had to like pray and hope for the best that he would stop eventually. So thank you to those nice bystanders who didn't judge me. So that was awful. And then we maybe this was a guilt present, but we got him his own little like backyard set up on our balcony.
That was after that happened?
Oh God.
Don't run. You have everything here.
He now has like his private little patch of grass. It's this like really cool product where you basically like he can go to the bathroom on his like own little patch of grass, and there's like a draining system underneath that like it'll collect like in a bowl, and you can like dump it out.
Just goes into your neighbor's.
We hose it into their patio. So that's nice. We're like, let's just get this little fuck his own like backyard set up or something. Which is nice, and then it'll be like hopefully more eco-friendly because then I'm not going through tons of pads and stuff. We just have a better system right now. So
it's really cute.
Oh, Maverick, just my God,
I can't wait till you have a baby and you call him a little fuck.
so much joy and so much worry. And he's a dog. Anyway, that was my situation.
I guess I have like an embarrassing thing. We don't have technically a segment for just an embarrassing. I guess a defuck, but it wasn't like I wasn't like a defuck toward anybody.
Yeah,
or even myself necessarily. I guess more myself than anybody. But
what about an oh fuck.
An oh fuck. That's a good way to put it. I was on a flight last week, and I am in the middle seat because I'm living that life, you guys. It's glamorous. And I opened my laptop, and I forgot.
Is this porn?
The most recent thing I was looking at online was, and it was I had an Adam and Eve page open with like a very graphic looking sex toy on it, and it was like pretty zoomed in. And the people on either side of me for sure saw, and I just like immediately scrambled to X out, and that was like minute 20 of like a 2.5 hour flight. Whoa. And I was just like, okay, well, it's gonna be a long fucking flight. Strap in. Now we all know each other pretty well, so yeah, that was my oh fuck moment. Just a friendly reminder when you're on a plane to think about what you were most recently looking at on a laptop before you open it up. Yeah. It's very different than a phone. You know, your
very
phone screen
different.
Is pretty small compared to like a full laptop screen. So.
Oh yeah. It's a TV versus a movie theater. I didn't know it was on your computer.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was on your phone.
No, my laptop. My laptop.
Zoomed in too. That's why I left.
I
want to know what it was.
Don't hold out on us. What kind of toy are you looking up?
Well, I mean, it's like
are you going to tell on the Patreon?
Tell it on the Patreon. That's a good idea.
Boom, baby. Oh, dude, I have a big Maverick the fuck moment that I'm going to share on Patreon because it is intense.
Oh my God.
Cannot share it publicly.
Is it like the pig?
Is it worse?
Is worse than the one I told you.
How is that possible?
I don't know, but I will tell you guys on Patreon.
Wait, worse than the other Maverick thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I think it's worse because I can't even get into it right
now. There's only one way I think it could be worse.
Yeah. Well, you're probably thinking of correctly. No, I mean, maybe not. Maybe not.
I'm thinking of something.
Okay. He got involved in some activities that he was not supposed to.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh God.
All right. We need to wrap this up so
that
we can
wrap it up with a quote.
Yeah.
That's a light quote.
I actually found this one. I like this one. The goal is to die with memories, not dreams.
That's a good one.
Unknown.
I
love that.
Go out there and live your life.
And keep thinking about death.
That's what that quote did for me.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh. You guys want to plug where you're at?
Yeah, this is next week, right?
I believe so.
17th?
The 24th is the air date.
Oh, okay. Well, I mostly have local shows because I'm getting married in the next couple weeks. I will be headlining American Comedy Co. I always feel like that's a weird name to say, American Comedy Co, because we always say club, but that's technically what it's called, like short for company.
Yeah. Strange. You're doing another week in there already?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
I feel like you were just there.
It was like a year ago.
Was that a year ago?
Yeah.
I have no concept of time.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks. I'll be headlining American Comedy Company down in San Diego, July 25th through the 27th. So any San Diego area helpsters, please come to that and go to kelseycook.com for more tour dates.
For more what?
Tour dates.
That's a very fun foreign accent that is not identifiable. Okay, sorry. So this comes out
on 24th.
The 24th. I am in West Nyack, New York at Levity Live this weekend, the 28th through the 30th. And you know, it's a beautiful club in a beautiful mall. That being said, it is somewhat isolated. It's 45 minutes outside the city, and the last time I did it, I was early on dating Kyle and tried to break up with him after. So please come to those shows. Some helpsters came out last time, but just please come out because I will need you there.
Emotional support.
And then I'll be in New York July 1st through the 4th. Kyle and I have a wedding that weekend, but I'll probably be doing shows around town if you just keep an eye on my Instagram. And then I will be headlining the Des Moines Funny Bone July 18th through 20th.
Amazing. Yeah. I'll be around. I'll be drawing dicks. I'll be doing some creative consulting with you guys, which I have absolutely been loving. A little update on that is I've decided that I'm going to build an online course eventually. It's going to be probably a few month process. So basically, I'm offering one-on-one consultations for now. That might change into more of like group consulting. So if you want, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, get me now. But like, if you want one-on-one time with me, now's the time to do it. But I will be offering group stuff going forward. So I've been loving that. And I'm going to start giving you guys shout outs on the pod because you guys are doing cool shit.
Yeah.
You should do it with Shay if she's interested, because she was saying that she wants to become like self-employed.
Very true.
Shay, hit me up.
I'm so excited. You guys are doing all kinds of cool different stuff. I'm going to gather my thoughts for next episode and actually give you guys some proper shout outs. So I've been loving that. So thanks for giving me that opportunity.
And if you haven't subscribed to the show already on iTunes, make sure you do. Please take a second, give us a 5-star rating and review. That's like one of the easiest ways you can help our show. And just tell a friend, spread the word. We want to just keep growing. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. We love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there. A little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there. And our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.